John Moffat as Hercule Poirot and Simon Williams as Captain Hastings in Agatha Christie's Lord Edgware Dies.
I killed him! Why should I hide it any longer? I killed him and I enjoyed watching the brute die. You don't know him as I did. He wasn't fit to live. You may call me a murderess, but I did mankind a service by ridding the world of him. Hang me if you will, but don't ask me to repent. The day I killed him was the most magnificent day of my life.
Oh, didn't I tell you she was amazing, Poirot? Quite uncanny. The voice, the face, the whole Jane Wilkinson manner to a T. The way she threw back her hair at the end. Just the way Jane did it in Dark Horizons.
Miss Adams is a quite remarkable performer, I agree.
And to think you didn't want to come because it was your evening for trimming your moustaches.
It was worth the sacrifice. Thank you, Hastings.
Oh, it wasn't easy getting a table, I can tell you. This is her last night.
Her impersonation of Jane Wilkinson was astonishingly convincing, certainly, but so were her Garbo and her Lady Astor. Tell me, is there a real Carlotta Adams beneath all this?
Oh, she's supposed to be a very sweet, modest, ordinary girl, as far as I know. But you really think impersonation is the right word, Poirot? She literally becomes all these people with practically nothing in the way of makeup. When she was doing Dark Horizons, it might have been Jane Wilkinson herself.
Not quite, my friend.
What do you mean?
Look over there. Is not that Jane Wilkinson herself?
Good Lord, so it is.
And the man with her, who has the features of a Greek god.
Well, you must know who that is, Poirot. It's Brian Martin. He was her leading man in Forbidden Desires.
But I thought that Jane Wilkinson gave up acting when she married Lord Edgware.
She did, but now she's given up Lord Edgware and gone back to acting. The marriage can't have lasted more than 2 years, and now she's returning to the West End Theatre. A good thing, if you ask me. She's a magnificent actress.
Perhaps.
What do you mean, perhaps?
If she is the centre of the play, if the play is written for her and about her, then she can be, as you say, magnificent. But she can only play herself. She is interested only in herself. Such women go through life in great danger.
Danger?
Yes, Hastings, danger. Because, you see, a woman like that sees only one thing, herself and her own forward path. And so, sooner or later, disaster.
Well, she seems to be uncommonly interested in you. She hasn't taken her eyes off you for the last couple of minutes. It must be the moustaches. I do believe she's coming over to speak to us.
And I do not think that Monsieur Martin is altogether keen on the idea.
I believe you are Monsieur Hercule Poirot, am I right?
At your service, madame.
Monsieur Poirot, I must talk to you.
Oh, by all means, madame. Pray, sit down with us.
No. I must speak to you privately. I'm sure that Jules can find us a quiet room somewhere where we won't be disturbed.
Jane, you can't just whisk Monsieur Poirot off like this.
Don't tell me what I can and cannot do, Brian. Just go back to your table and watch the rest of the show. Monsieur Poirot and I are going to have a little talk, aren't we?
Of course, madame. You permit that my friend Captain Hastings comes with us?
Thank you, Jules. So discreet as always. And a bottle of my favourite champagne. You think of everything.
Well, is that for your manner?
Quite perfect, thank you. It is so good of you to spare me your time like this, Monsieur Poirot.
Tell me, in what way can I be of service to you?
Monsieur Poirot, somehow or other, I've just got to get rid of my husband.
Oh, but madame, getting rid of husbands is not my speciality.
Of course, I know that.
I do not make investigations for divorce. It is not pretty, ce métier-là.
My dear Monsieur Poirot, I'm not asking you to spy at keyholes or talk to chambermaids. I have just got to get rid of the man, and I'm sure you can tell me how to do it.
First, tell me, madame, why you are so anxious to get rid of Lord Edgware.
I want to get married again. What other reason could there be?
But surely he'd give you a divorce.
You don't know my husband, Captain Hastings. He's... I don't know how to put this. He's not like other people.
In what way is he not like other people?
He should never have married anyone. He's obsessed with cruelty. His first wife ran away from him, leaving her little baby behind her. He never divorced her, and she died miserably abroad somewhere. And then he married me. I simply couldn't stand it. He frightened me. He's a monster. I left him and went off to Hollywood. I've no grounds for divorce, and if I've given him grounds, he won't take any notice of them. He's a very strange man.
And who is the man you wish to marry?
The Duke of Merton.
Good Lord.
The whole thing is so wonderfully romantic. He's quite unlike anyone I've ever met.
But isn't he a committed Anglo-Catholic?
And Merton Castle is something out of a fairy tale.
But would he still want you to continue...
Captain Hastings, the first thing I shall do when we marry is give up the stage.
And in the meantime, Lord Edgware stands in the way of all these romantic dreams.
Yes, it's driving me to distraction.
So what do you want me to do? After all, every man has the right to live.
Oh, I don't want you to kill him for me.
Oh, ha ha. I can't tell you how relieved I am, madam.
I thought you might somehow be able to talk him round to the idea of a divorce. I'm sure you could.
I think you rather overestimate my persuasive powers.
Oh, but surely you can think of something. You'd like me to be happy, wouldn't you?
I should like everyone to be happy.
Yes, but I wasn't thinking of everyone. I was thinking of me.
Mm.
You will help me, won't you? I can't tell you...
Pardon me, madame.
Yes, Jules, what is it?
Mr. Merton.
I can't tell you.
Pardon me, madame.
Yes, Jules, what is it?
Mr. Merton would like to have a word.
How delightfully formal. Ask him to come in.
I know you didn't want to be disturbed, Jane, but...
I've said what I wish to say to Monsieur Poirot.
I thought that you'd like to know that I've succeeded in the commission you gave me.
Have you indeed? That's wonderful. I'll just fix my face and join you. In the meantime, Monsieur Poirot can think about my proposal.
Well, Monsieur Poirot, has our Jane persuaded you to fight her battles? You might as well give in sooner rather than later. She doesn't understand the word no.
She has not come across it, perhaps.
A very interesting character, Jane. Taboos have no meaning for her. No morals whatever. Oh, I don't mean she's exactly immoral. She isn't. Amoral is the word, I believe. She sees only one thing in life. What Jane wants.
She certainly seems very determined.
I believe she'd kill somebody quite cheerfully. And feel injured if they caught her and wanted to hang her for it. The trouble is that she would be caught. She hasn't any brains. Her idea of a murder would be to drive up in a taxi, sail in under her own name and shoot.
I wonder what makes you say that.
But we'd better get back to our table. I wouldn't miss this particular confrontation for the world.
I thought I just had to know you, Miss Adam. It was an utterly fantastic pause.
You're very kind, Lady Edward. If I'd known you were there tonight, I think I'd have died of fright.
I don't know when I enjoyed anything so much as I did your show tonight.
That's very sweet of you. Oh, I do appreciate you telling me.
You'll join us for supper, won't you? And you as well, Monsieur Poirot. Captain Hastings.
I'd love to.
Oh, forgive me, Lady Edgware, but it is long past my bedtime.
But you'll do as I asked.
I will do what I can.
You've got to persuade him. For my sake. If you don't.
What will happen if I don't?
I'll just have to take a taxi and go round and bump him off myself.
Marmalade?
Hmm? Oh, Hastings, you know I never take marmalade. What are you thinking of?
I was simply trying to get your attention. What is that letter?
See for yourself.
An appointment with Lord Edgware at Regent Gate tomorrow morning.
You are surprised?
Well,
you thought perhaps it was Lady Edgware's champagne that I promised what I would not perform? My friend, the promises of Hercule Poirot are sacred.
But you surely can't let yourself be influenced by...
I am not in the habit of letting myself be influenced by anyone. I am interested, that's all.
Huh. Interested in the prospect of Jane Wilkinson's marrying the Duke of Merton?
Oh, no, that is a very commonplace business, Hastings. A step in the career of a very beautiful and ambitious woman. No, it is the interplay of characters that interests me. Hmm. I welcome the chance of studying Lord Edgware at close quarters. Come in.
There's a gentleman downstairs who wishes to speak to you.
A gentleman?
It's Brian Martin, Mr. Poirot.
Ah, then be so good as to show him up.
Yes, Mr. Poirot.
Starstruck is the phrase, I think. I would never have believed it of her.
So, now we know where she goes on her afternoons off.
Mr. Martin, sir.
Ah, come in, Monsieur Martin.
Thank you.
Please take a seat.
Thank you.
You know Captain Hastings, of course.
Of course, Captain Hastings.
So, what can I do for you? I presume this is a professional visit?
Oh, yes, it is. I was wondering whether you might have the time to undertake something for me.
Well, that would depend. You have a problem?
I'm not quite certain.
Huh?
The trouble is that I can't tell you as much as I'd like to.
What can you tell us?
It's difficult. You see, the whole thing started in America.
What started in America?
It was like this. I was travelling in a train to New York, and there was this fellow... Ugly little chap, clean-shaven, glasses, and a gold tooth.
A gold tooth? Oh, that is interesting.
I just noticed him. And then, 6 months later, I was in Los Angeles, and there he was again, in my hotel lobby. Nothing in that, I suppose.
But strange, nevertheless.
A month afterwards, I had occasion to go to Seattle, and crossing the street, who should I see but my friend again? Only this time he was wearing a beard.
A beard?
And then I saw him in a streetcar in Chicago, but this time with a moustache and different eyebrows. Huh? I'm positive it was the same chap.
You suspected you were being shadowed?
I thought they must have put someone on my tail.
Hmm. Tell me, Mr. Martin, who are they?
That's the difficulty. I think it's all bound up with something that happened in London about 2 years ago, but... I can't tell you about it. Not now, you see.
And why not?
There's a girl concerned in it.
Ah. Mm-hmm. I understand.
And I would have to get her permission.
Then why have you come to me before going to her?
Well, I thought if I could tell her that you were interested in the case, then she might be...
Of course. I understand.
Rather a curious affair the other night, wasn't it?
Oh, I thought Carlotta Adams was... quite delightful.
Pretty brave of her to venture into the tigress's den. I was afraid Jane might try to scratch her eyes out.
Oh, unfortunately, I got rather taken over by Carlotta's escort. He was the most frightful bore. I think he had a glass or two too much of champagne. He kept on telling me that I reminded him of an old friend of his called Spencer Jones.
Oh, that was Ronnie Marsh, Edgware's nephew. Rather a bad hat. Insists on calling Jane Aunt Jane, which doesn't go down very well, as you can imagine. Mind you, Jane must be the most high-handed woman that ever walked the face of the earth.
One will stand a great deal from a beautiful woman.
You must know her quite well, Mr. Martin, I suppose. I mean, you've acted with her often enough.
Yes, I suppose I know her through and through. I can see her killing quite easily.
She has the hot temper?
Oh, not at all. She's as cool as a cucumber. I mean, if anyone were in her way, she'd just remove them. Without a thought. She'd reckon that anyone who interfered with Jane Wilkinson would have to go.
You think she would commit murder?
You know, I really do. She'd kill as easily as she'd drink her morning tea. I mean it.
I can see that you do.
I've taken up enough of your time, Monsieur Poirot. Do you think there's a chance of your undertaking this little business of mine? If the lady agrees, that is.
Yes, I will undertake it. It interests me.
That's extremely kind of you. I knew that I could rely on you. Oh, don't worry. I can find my own way out.
Goodbye, Mr. Martin.
Goodbye, Captain Hastings.
Well, what on earth is all that about?
You do not see?
Well, he gave us so little to go on.
On the contrary, he told us everything.
Do not certain ideas suggest themselves to you?
Poirot? Of course. I see. This morning? Yes, that would be possible. Yes. We will be there at 12:15.
We will be where?
At Lord Edgware's house at Regent's Gate. He has to go to Paris on business tomorrow, but he could see us for a few minutes this morning.
Huh.
We had better leave straight away.
If you would care to wait in the study, gentlemen, I will tell his lordship you are here.
Thank you.
I'm sure it'll only be a few moments.
Ah, mon Dieu, Hastings, what kind of butler is this? He has the face of an Apollo.
Well, he bears an uncanny resemblance to Brian Martin, don't you think?
You are right. It struck me at once. What a curious collection of books. If books are the key to a man's soul, Lord Edgware must possess a very strange soul indeed.
Poirot, he's coming.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you for agreeing to see us so promptly, Lord Edgware.
I am familiar, of course, with your name, Monsieur Poirot. Who is not? But I cannot quite understand your position in this matter. I understand that you wish to see me on behalf of my wife.
That is so.
I understood you were an investigator of crime, Monsieur Poirot.
Not only of crime, Lord Edgware. There are other problems.
Indeed. And what may this one be?
Lady Edgware, as you know, desires a divorce.
I'm quite aware of that.
Her suggestion was that you and I should discuss the matter.
There is nothing to discuss.
You refuse to countenance a divorce?
Certainly not. She knows that perfectly well. I wrote and told her so 6 months ago.
What? You wrote to her? But I understood you were opposed to the principle of divorce.
I do not see that my principles are your concern, Monsieur Poirot. It is true that I refused to divorce my first wife. My conscience would not allow me to do so. My second marriage, I will admit frankly, was a mistake. When she suggested a divorce, I refused point blank. 6 months ago, she wrote to me again. I suspect there was somebody she wished to marry, a film actor or something of the sort. My views had, by this time, undergone modification. I wrote to her at Hollywood, telling her so. Why she has sent you to me, I cannot imagine.
There is something here I do not understand at all.
If it is a question of money, I have no intention of making a financial arrangement. If she wishes to marry another man, I can set her free to do so. But there is no reason why she should receive a penny from me, and she will not do so.
There is no question of any financial arrangement.
Oh, she must be marrying a rich man.
I still do not understand. May I ask you what special circumstance brought about your change of mind over the divorce, Lord Edgware?
No, that surely is my own business, Monsieur Poirot. I don't see why I should discuss it with you. Shall we say that gradually I perceived the advantage of severing what I considered, you will forgive my plain speaking, a degrading association. My second marriage was, as I have said, a mistake.
Your wife says the same.
Does she? Well, if that is all, gentlemen, I must make preparations for my journey to Paris tomorrow.
Of course.
Of course.
They are selling the Mistival collection, and there is one statuette I particularly wish to acquire. Love chastised by death. A particularly macabre subject. My butler will show you out.
Very nasty piece of work, the fourth Baron Edgware. Did you see the way he looked at us as we left?
No, mon ami, I did not.
Insane with rage, like something out of Dante's Inferno.
I fancy he is very near the border of madness. I should imagine that he practices many curious vices.
I wonder his wives left him.
As you say.
Did you notice the girl as we came out who was standing in the doorway in the hall? A dark girl with a very pale face.
Yes, I saw her. She looked very frightened and unhappy.
Who do you suppose she was?
I imagine she must be his daughter by his first wife.
That house must be a gloomy place for a young girl. I wonder how she stands it.
Oh, indeed, mon ami.
So, what's the next step?
I do not know, Hastings. For once in my life, I simply cannot understand what is behind all this. We had better tell her ladyship the good news. I wonder how she will take it.
But that's impossible. He can't have written to me.
That is what he says, madame. I have no reason to doubt that he is telling the truth.
Where did he say he wrote to?
Hollywood, or so he says.
He must have gone astray. I never got it. And to think it's been driving me crazy all these months. You didn't tell him anything about the Duke of Merton?
Not a word, madame.
He wouldn't be so willing to give me a divorce if he knew about Merton. I must say, though, I can't imagine what could have made him change his mind.
It puzzles you?
Oh, it does. But what does it matter as long as he's changed it? I'm free.
Not yet, madame.
Well, going to be free. Merton's in Paris. I must ring him and tell him. His mother will be furious.
Oh, I am glad that everything is working out for you, madame.
Monsieur Poirot, I can't tell you how grateful I am.
But I did nothing.
You brought me the good news. That's what counts.
Now, Hastings, it is time to employ the little grey cells. Now, there are four possible explanations, but not one of them is satisfactory.
Four?
First, it was lost in the post, but that is unlikely.
And if it had been incorrectly addressed, it would have been returned to Lord Edgware by now.
The second possibility is that our beautiful lady is lying when she says that she never received it. But I cannot see how that could be to her advantage. If she knows he will divorce her, why send me to ask him to do so? It does not make sense.
And the next explanation?
Lord Edgware is lying. But I do not see any point in such a lie. Why invent a fictitious letter? That does not make sense either.
And the fourth explanation is that someone must have suppressed the letter.
Exactly so, Hastings. And that is the only possible explanation. Someone did not want that marriage dissolved. Oh, I would give a great deal to know what is behind this affair. There is something of which, as yet, I have been able only to catch a glimpse.
Oh, I'm sorry to disturb you, Mr. Poirot, but Inspector Jack's on his way up. He says he's particularly anxious to speak to you.
Then please show him in. Oh, and inquire whether he would like coffee or tea. Or would he like breakfast?
I'll ask him.
I suppose he wants to pick your brains as usual.
And what harm is there in that?
Because he always tries to pretend he's doing nothing of the sort.
And is that so very dreadful? He has to safeguard his amour propre. It is very natural.
Inspector Jack!
Ah, come in and take a seat, my good fellow.
Straight your breakfast, I see. Not got the hens to lay square eggs for you, Monsieur Poirot?
Your tea, Inspector.
Thank you very much, Mrs.
And what brings you to see us so early?
It's not early for me, Monsieur Poirot. I've been up and at work for a good 2 hours. That's what brings me. It's murder.
Murder?
Lord Edgware was killed at his house in Regent Gate last night. Stabbed in the neck by his wife.
By his wife?
You've heard of her, I'm sure. Jane Wilkinson, the actress.
What makes you believe it was she who killed him?
I don't have to believe anything. She drove up to the house in a taxi, rang the bell and asked for Lord Edgware. It was 10 o'clock. The butler said he'd see if Lord Edgware was at home. Oh, she says, cool as a cucumber. You needn't do that. I am Lady Edgware. I suppose he's in his study. And she goes into the study and shuts the door behind her.
And the butler made no attempt to prevent her?
He thought it was queer, but what was he to do? About 10 minutes later, he heard the front door shut.
Hmm?
He locked up for the night about 11. He says he opened the study door, but it was dark, so he thought his master had gone to bed. This morning, a housemaid goes in and finds the body. Stabbed in the neck, he was, just at the roots of his hair. If you hit on exactly the right spot, it kills a man instantly.
But surely that implies a professional knowledge.
Mm, I suppose that's true. But 10 to 1, she just struck lucky. Some people have amazing luck, you know.
Not if it results in being hanged.
Of course, the woman was a fool, sailing in like that and giving her name and all.
It was indeed very curious.
Possibly she didn't intend mischief. They quarrelled, and she whipped out a penknife and jabbed him one.
A penknife? He was killed with a penknife?
Something of the kind, the doctor says. Whatever it was, she took it away with her. It wasn't left in the wound.
No, my friend. It could not have been like that. I know the lady. She would be quite incapable of such a hot-blooded, impulsive action. Besides, she would be most unlikely to have a penknife with her. Few women have. And assuredly not Jen Wilkinson.
You know her, Monsieur Poirot.
Yes, I know her. So, what has brought you to me, Inspector? It is not merely to pass the time of day with an old comrade. Assuredly not. You have here a nice, straightforward murder. You have the criminal. You have the motive. What exactly is the motive, by the way?
It seems she wanted to marry another man. She was heard to say so not a week ago. She was also heard to make threats, said she meant to call round in a taxi and bump him off.
Ah, you are very well informed, my good chap. Someone has evidently been very obliging.
We get to hear things, Monsieur Poirot.
But you still have not answered my question. Since all goes on in the swimming fashion, why come to me?
Because I heard you were at Regent Gate yesterday morning.
I see.
Now, as soon as I heard that, I said to myself, why should his lordship send for Monsieur Poirot? Why? What did he suspect? What did he fear? Before doing anything definite, I'd better go round and have a word with him.
And what do you mean by anything definite? Arresting the lady, I suppose.
Exactly.
You have not seen her yet?
Oh, yes, I have. Went round to the Savoy first thing. Wasn't going to risk her giving us the slip.
And what did she say?
I gave her the usual stuff, of course, about wanting a statement and cautioning her. You can't say the English police aren't fair.
In my opinion, foolishly so. About what did Milady say?
She had hysterics. That's what she did.
What next?
She did her coming-to act. Moaned and groaned and carried on, and that sour-faced maid of hers doped her with smelling salts and stuff. And at last she recovered enough to ask for her solicitor. Hysterics one moment, solicitor the next. Now I ask you, is that natural behaviour?
In this case, quite natural, I should say.
You mean because she's guilty and knows it?
Not at all. I mean because of her temperament. First, she gives you her conception of how the part of a wife suddenly learning of her husband's death should be played. Then, having satisfied her histrionic instinct, her native shrewdness makes her send for a solicitor. That she creates an artificial scene and enjoys it is no proof of her guilt. It merely indicates that she is a born actress.
Well, she's guilty. That's for sure.
You are very positive. I suppose it must be so. She made no statement, you say? No statement at all?
Wouldn't say a word without a solicitor. The maid telephoned for him. I left two of my men there and came along to you.
And you're sure she did it?
Of course I'm sure. But I like as many facts as possible. You see, there's going to be a big splash made about this. All the papers will be full of it. And you know what papers are.
Talking of papers, have you read them this morning?
Glanced at them. There didn't seem to be much going on.
Then I think you'd better take a look at this, my good chap. Here, in the society column.
Sir Montague Corner gave a very distinguished dinner party last night at his house by the river in Chiswick. Among those gracing his table were Sir George and Lady Defis, Sir Oscar Hammerfell to Overton Film Studios, and drama critic Mr. James Blount, and Miss Jane Wilkinson, Lady Edgware. But that's just not possible.
Very curious, is it not, Inspector?
In part one of Lord Edgware Dies by Agatha Christie, dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell, Hercule Poirot was played by John Moffat and Captain Hastings by Simon Williams. Jane Wilkinson, Nicola Paget, Inspector Japp, Norman Jones, Lord Edgware, James Green, Brian Martin, Brett Usher, Poirot's housekeeper, Jean Reeve, Edgware's butler, Clarence Smith. The director was Enid Williams.
And so tomorrow, we'll see if Lady Edgware really can make her alibi stand up in court.